Okay, so Anthony, I thought we would talk about Bitcoin.
Okay.
So, you are kind of the expert about Bitcoin.
I wouldn't say I'm an expert. I just maybe a hobbyist,
So, how long have you been
Bitcoin
involved with Bitcoin?
hobbyist. Probably I first heard about Bitcoin in probably 2012, and I'm really kicking myself that I didn't buy some then because it was about $20. But when
So
I
$20 per
yeah per
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin it was about
Okay. So how
$20.
much is it worth now?
That's right now it's about 8,500,
You've
somewhere
got
around
to be
there.
kidding me.
No. I wish I was. But
Wow.
I got into it as a hobbyist around 2014, a little before I moved abroad, and I got into what is known as mining. So to briefly explain what that is miners, people who call themselves miners, they buy special computers which are called ASICs, and that stands for Application Specific Integrated Circuit. And the application specific part means that the chips that you're using in that computer can only be used for one specific purpose, and that purpose is to solve cryptographic problems, thus creating Bitcoin. So that's what I was doing. I was running a mining computer.
So when you say mining, like mining, you're getting little bits of Bitcoin,
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
tiny, tiny fragments.
Exactly.
You have this chip in your computer finds this cryptographic problem,
Yes.
so your computer, you get the reward by
Yes.
getting a small bit of Bitcoin.
Exactly. So usually you can mine, it's called solo mining. You can do solo mining where you're only working with with whatever computers you have. But what's a lot more popular is pool mining, where you join a pool and you work together with a group of miners to solve one problem. And once the block is discovered, as they say, each block contains 50 bitcoins. So depending on the computing power that you were giving the pool, you get paid out in equal measure. So for people, that's a lot more profitable than solo mining because you could solo mine for years and never find a block.
So, yeah, for somebody who has no concept of this, the first thing they're going to ask is, well, who creates these blocks of, who makes this?
That's a good
It's
question.
like a, where are we from? It's like a chicken and an egg thing.
Exactly. And that's a very interesting point to bring up because allegedly, the creator of Bitcoin is someone called Satoshi Nakamoto. And he is the alleged creator, as I said. But the reason I say alleged is that no one has ever met this person. It's kind of he's kind of a mystery. So no one knows his real identity. Some people have had made theories that it could be a group of people. It could be a specific person and that's just an alias. But no one really knows who this guy is and where he came from. And he's yeah, it's a really interesting concept.
So then how did this take hold? How did this get a foot in society? You know what I mean? Like get a foot in the door, I should say. So somebody creates this system. This person is a mystery,
Yes.
but then the internet grabbed onto it and said, "Hey, this is a really cool thing. I want to buy this." It's quite interesting that this market came out of nowhere and now it's
Yeah.
challenging traditional currency systems.
Exactly. Well, it started there was this mailing, this was like before the internet was even really what it is now, but I think in like 2007, I think 2007, 2008, there was like a group of people called the cypherpunks, and they were kind of like anarchistic programmers that were kind of anti-establishment, and they ran this mailing, this email mailing list, and they were just collaborating together, talking about, creating some kind of digital cash. And Satoshi Nakamoto was a member of that mailing list, and that's where it kind of gained the underground movement And really, I think there's what is called a white paper, and that's a document that details everything about Bitcoin. And it's really big. It's maybe like, I'm not sure exactly how large, but it's like a book. And a lot of the reason it took off is people would read it and they would believe the technology and they would try to sell it to other people because they believed in it, really.
Wow. That's an interesting history. And so basically this community read this white paper.
Yeah.
And then it took off and gained momentum. And then that here we are today.
Yeah. But I think a big part of it, as you mentioned, is really just convincing people. Because really, fiat currency, I mean, if you break it down, it's just paper, right? It's just paper that the government makes.
It's an illusion.
Yeah. And the only reason that it has any value is because we trust in it, right? So if I give you a $100 bill or whatever, you're going to trust that you can spend that, right, to buy something. So it's the same thing with Bitcoin. Like, it's a process of convincing people that because this technology makes something that is scarce, it cannot be replicated, it cannot be, like, you know, without the proper means, it cannot be moved or taken, that it is a valid way of transferring value digitally. So that's a really big part of it. And a lot of people have bought into it.
Wow. Very interesting.